If you would like, you may open your Bible to the first Gospel of John and chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence, that you would help us as we've opened your word to get thy word safely and rightly into our head and heart, that we might have the advantage, that we might have the freedom to understand and to exercise truth, to exercise your wonderful person. So God, help us in every way, and we'll thank you very much in Christ's name. Amen. In our study of First Epistle of John, and we're in chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 22, verse 23, verse 24, and they all come together in a very unified way to bring to you and to bring to us and remind us how to enjoy that relationship we're to be having to Almighty God, how to do so. Now, and we've been looking at that, so just to tie it together, since it is critical. So, if I may remind us, here in the Gospel of John, remember, God is looking to exercise a relationship that we are to have to him. So when we receive him, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, the privilege to become sons, children of God, even to them that believe in his name. Now, so we need to receive the Lord as our Savior in order to have a relationship to be realized. So if we don't receive him, then we don't have the relationship. That's simple as that. So, and therefore, to keep in mind, and you need to believe. The end of verse 12, to believe. And that translates verse 16, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received. In other words, verse 14, he's full of grace and truth. God in Christ brings us the fullness of God's awesome person. And so when we receive him as our Savior, we receive the fullness of God. You can't have any more of God. God and his wonderful person and presence in totality is there. And when we receive him, verse 16, and of his fullness, of his wonderful, wonderful completeness, have all we received, grace for grace, remember, grace is God doing the whole ball of wax. God does it. Man contributes not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, and you and I have a relationship to ourselves, and all of us in some form or fashion realize we are who we are. We know that much. And that relationship is realized. You know it. You just know you're alive and you're inside your body. You just know that. That's relationship. You enjoy and exercise and experience that relationship. Now, so therefore, and you have a relationship to family, friends, etc. And you have a relationship. And that relationship is there, and to the extent you exercise it, and you do it, you enjoy family, et cetera, to whatever measure. And you do that. But then you don't do it. You do it when you're there, but then you don't do it. Don't do it. So you have something and you don't. You go to school, and you go to school, say, and you enjoy, you have an exercise where you experience the classroom. And if you're really with it, you're listening to whatever's being taught or whatever. And you experience that. And then you leave the classroom and you don't experience the classroom. 1 minute you're there, the next minute you're not. That's the same with going to work. You go to work, you experience work, you give yourself to the work, and you do it, whatever is demanded, and then you leave work. It's just you're there and you're not there. And so in sports or something, football, basketball, or whatever, and you're there, you're on the playing field, and then you're off the playing field. When you're doing, you're playing, everything is there. When you're at work, you follow instructions and do everything you're supposed to in the light of your job. Go to school, you're trying to learn. When you go in the sports world, you're out there in the football field, and you've been taking everything, and whatever you did 10 hours earlier, it's all put aside. Right now on that field, basketball, football, we're all caught up in what we're trying to do as a unit, and we're committed to that unit to do it. That's what we're doing, and we do it. But then we leave it. Then we leave it. We leave it, sports, whatever. And if you were in the Army, you'd have the same thing. You're in the Army, and as long as you're active in serving in some area, you're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're there. You're in the Army. You aren't somewhere else. You practice being in the Army. You've been trained, boot camp and everything, and you're doing practicing being in the Army. You have a uniform on, and you're being in the Army. That's what you're there. The policemen, the same thing. Firemen. That's what they do. We're there and we don't there. So we're used to giving ourselves to something. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you're to have a relationship to God, an actual relationship. Work, home, school, army, basketball. You have a relationship. You're supposed to have a real relationship. Really, real relationship. And that's what we're supposed to have and exercise it. And the trouble, and with that exercise, we have to believe. And that's what you read in the scripture reading. If you don't believe, as we shared a moment ago, you're looking and listening, hear all the words, you can read, come and go, and your eyes are blinded. And when it comes to spiritual things, comes to God, you don't see. You're blind. So the simplest, clearest, obvious, most obvious thing to be understood, you don't understand it. You don't understand it. You don't believe. And in chapter 3, if you took time to look there again, that's why the Jews aren't saved. The most obvious thing, Christ died on the cross, and you got the whole Old Testament and history. It's obvious. Why don't you believe? Because they don't believe. They don't believe. So the simplest, wonderful truth, if you don't believe, it goes right by you. So here's our wonderful truths we're looking at. God, that's what we're trying to get. The truth, to understand them. Otherwise, we don't believe. And we can say all these wonderful things that are wonderfully, wonderfully, forever real. But you don't get them, right? In one ear, out the other. Back, front, you lose them. And so are Christians. It doesn't mean anything. So you're Christians. Where's Christ? Where's Christ? If you're Christians, where's Christ? That's what you got to have. No Christ, no Christian. But we're Christians. Now, we've got to fix that. And that's what God's trying to help us with in 1 John as we've been doing it. So now, and we share together over to Romans chapter 6. And let me run it all by you again and lock it in. Romans in chapter 6, picking up, please. Christ died on the cross, took your sin and mine in his body on the Calvary's cross. He buried, and he rose again to give us his life. So, here we are looking. So, what do we do? When we got saved, what did God do for us in a most wonderful way? He saved us. So, chapter 6 and verse 4. Wherefore, I read verse 3. Know you not that as many of us as were baptized, placed into, immersed into Jesus Christ, were baptized, placed into, immersed, identified into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. End of verse 4. You have newness of life. When you get saved, you have a brand new relationship to God. How so? Christ took you and took us to the cross and paid the price for our sin. He then buried our sin, so we don't see it anymore. Well, we're going to talk about it. No, you're not. I'm done with it. I got an old sin nature, no question about it. 24 hours a day, I got to live with it. But that isn't the issue. God has now made you a new creature to exercise. You may be whatever, but when you went onto the football field, when you learned and trained, you forget whatever you were someplace else. Right now, you're committed to outwork that football game or whatever it is, work, homeschool, whatever you're doing. You're committed to it. God said, I made you a new creature in Christ, new. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That God's done with it. We aren't done with it. We keep playing with it. God's done with that. Do it a little further. Take it as you know. If you went to 2 Corinthians, why not keep you awake? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and you will note. And picking up, if I can, verse 17. Therefore, if, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, you receive Christ as your Savior. God has given you his wonderful presence in his fullness. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. All things have passed away, all done. And behold, all things have become new. So when God deals with us, it's all exercise. What are we doing? We're exercising our relationship to God in its I can't do it. I hear you, but I can't understand it. I have to understand. I need to believe that I have that relationship when I receive Christ as my Savior. I need to exercise that relationship for real. I need to understand it. Therefore, it's new, the relation. Now, remember what we shared with the tree and the branches and doing all those things? It's so simple, but that's the trouble. You got to believe. The simple wonderfulness of life. But you got to believe. God said, remember John 15 and that, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him. The same bringeth forth much fruit. Now, when you get saved, God gives you a unique relationship to himself. God in Christ comes in your heart, and God in Christ ties you to his wonderful person. The branch is tied to the tree. The branch doesn't now. It used to be out here. Now it's tied to the tree. Its whole life. Down here, it's dead. Attached to the tree, it's life. All things are passed away. I don't do that anymore. I have a relationship to God. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God isn't interested. Of when I was disconnected, God is interested that I be connected. And if I abide, rest, rely, dwell, and trial in God, trust in God, do that, God said, then out of your being shall flow fruit and leaves, and that's what it'll do. So my new life is in Christ. I'm to exercise and realize that life. And the leaves and the fruit are going to come and be exercised. It is all the other limbs, all the other believers have the same fruit, the same leaves. So we all look to each other and understand each other. We have the same Lord, the same love, the same life. We have it. We love each other. Why? Because we are connected to the same Father in a most wonderful way, and we're believers. We aren't talking about I'm a Christian in the worldly sense. We aren't talking about that. No, I'm talking about I really am attached to the Christ. I am experiencing the wonderful life of God in an awesome way. That's what God wants me to have. That's what God wants me to know. It's new. God, are we going to talk about the old? He said, put off the old like clothes and put on the new. Now, let me just do it one more time. See, you can't miss it. Over to Galatians. Galatians in chapter 6. Easy to see. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. You'll see it. I'll read verse 14, but God forbid, chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. God, save me in a most wonderful way out of the world, even though I'm left in the world, in this body. Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. You have to be new. Practice being new. But you cannot practice it. Here's a little thing I'll try to do. Try to do it here. Well, I think I can. Here's a little thing. Here's the lights, but here's this little light. You won't see it back there, probably. You can't see it. Okay. I need to be, the light bulb needs to have connected to the power. That's what it's for. And when it's connected and the power is flowing in the light filament, light bulb, it lights. Now, that's lights. As long as it's connected, as long as the branch is connected, it has life and light. It's just, I got it. Good. Now, so what then? But the minute I throw the switch, it's out. The light switches in your house. They only do two things. One, they connect the power and it lights. And two, you turn it and it's dark. Light, dark, off, on. No middle, no three quarters. No three quarters. There's no such thing. You're either in or out. You're either abiding or you're not abiding. There is no halfway. There is no, I'm halfway. I do a little bit. No, you're either going to be abiding or you're not abiding. Either you're going to be lit or you're not lit. Don't play a game with it. That's what is required. You have to be, that's why God says, reckon it dead. Reckon yourself dead so you don't try to keep playing with it. You're going to do it. You got an old nature. You're going to do it. But I have to trust God. If I don't trust God, I got a problem because I'm reading, thinking, and I never grow. I never learn. I'm not enjoying being saved. And you have to be new. But I don't want to be. Then you aren't going to, I don't know if you're saved or not. You have to do it. I say, well, no, then that's what God wants. And so therefore you're going to abide. And you're going to abide, and the leaves are going to be there, and the fruit's going to be there, but it isn't your leaves. They aren't your leaves, and they aren't your fruit. They belong to the tree. The tree, because you're attached to the tree, you're able to have the fruit and the leaves. Take away your attachment, and you have no more fruit and no more leaves. You're going to stay attached. That's what God's trying to say. John 15, 4 and 5. Without me, if you don't abide in me, and my words abide in you, without me, he says, frankly, simply, you can do nothing. Now, you can't get clearer than that. There is no middle ground. And if we're trying to learn and grow and listen, and we don't abide, it ain't going to go anywhere. Do you understand? You got to do it. And people sit and listen, do, sing, out the door, and it's all gone. They're all done. So God, what are you trying to tell us? We have to abide in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Over to, while you're in Galatians, go over to chapter 2. Chapter 2. And in chapter 2, verse 20. 2:20 Galatians. I am crucified with Christ. You get saved, know the Lord as your Savior. Christ died on the cross for us and gave us his life, his resurrected life, a relationship to who he is. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this body, I live by the faith, the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life I now have is his. And you don't have to be 75 years a Christian to do this, as we shared last time. The minute you get saved, it's yours to exercise it. It's a relationship. That's what you did. You believed. God plugged you in. He got into you. You got into him. Yep. To have it. So you need to exercise and enjoy God's wonderful person and presence in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So you need to understand. Over to 1 John. First Epistle of John. And we're looking for God's wonderful working in a most wonderful way. It's a wonderful thing, but we're playing with it, playing with the switches, off and on, off and on, off and on. Can't do that. Won't work. 1 John chapter 5, you'll remember, let me go back over so you connect it while we're over in this section. 1 John chapter 3. Remember where we were, verse 21, 3 and 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not. Then have we confidence, boldness toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, verse 23, that we should believe on the name of the Son of God, even the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and have one another as he gave us commandment. We're supposed to be believing. We have a relationship. We're supposed to exercise the relationship. Now, God, that's what you're looking for. Over to 1 John chapter 5. So, God, what are we looking for? Asking and receiving. And we shared all these things many times. They just did it. 1 John chapter 5. What are we asking? Asking whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. So, God, in your most wonderful way, you do what you do as only you can do it. So 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Oh, no, I'll read verse 13. You can't miss it. I'll read verse 12 even. You can't miss it. 1 John 5, 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not, N-O-T, the Son of God, hath no life. Either Christ is in you or he isn't. There's no. Either I'm attached to the tree or I'm not. That's all. And talk about whatever your background, whoever you are. You're either attached or you're not. That's all there is to it. Doesn't matter who you are. You're either abiding or you're not. So therefore, these things, verse 13, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Believe, believe, believe. The devil blinds the heart if it doesn't believe. In the name of God, that purpose, you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So we need to be, if he that hath the Son hath life, he that doesn't, Christ, you don't have any life. Your relationship is based on God in Christ in your heart. Verse 14, and this is the confidence, the boldness that we have in him, that If we ask, there's your little word we're looking at, ask and you shall receive whatever you ask. That's pretty broad. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. There's no limit to that. There's no limits. No limits. Whatever you ask in my name, you will receive in my name. What are you doing? Christ save you. The life you now have is his life. And the outworking of his life in your life is yes and amen. It's complete. And whatever you ask in this relationship, God is going to do it because you want. Now verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, 5 and 14, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, there you are again, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. We know we have it. We just have it. Whatever you ask, you have it. How can you not abide? Think of what we did in Sunday school. I'm going to outwork my will for your life. I have it from the foundation of the earth. I have it for you. I have a wonderful plan. When you get saved, God gives you a new relationship to outwork the old wonderful truth in your life. To God's going to do that. So whatever you ask, you'll receive it. How can you miss? How can you tell God not to do? Do you want God's will? I'm abiding, God, to bear much fruit. Well, then God, maybe, are you going to give any fruit? You know that's a silly question. You're going to abide to bear much fruit. So whatever you're asking, in whatever your relationship, in the will of God, as you outwork your daily life, work, home, school, play, whatever you do, whatever you're outworking. You're looking to God to outwork his wonderful life in you. All the while, you're letting your heart beat and give you physical life. And you don't argue with it. You don't talk about it. You just thank God the heart beats and gives you physical life. And you just enjoy the life. You don't question it or talk about it or debate about it or have a debate. You just let it live. So we're supposed to what? Abide, like the branch, and just let it live. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And, verse 15 again, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. God's going to outwork us. I haven't got to 2 o'clock today, but God's already there. And I want God, I'm looking to abide to get there. And God, if he wants us to stay alive till 2 o'clock, then that's where we're going to go. And God is going to, here's the tree, and at 2 o'clock, it's there, and God's outworking the leaves and the fruit. God's outworking his wonder, my relationship to him, your relationship to him, and you're outworking it. And he got there. I already have it. I already have that because I have it now. And as long as I'm abiding, I done got it. I got it to the end. I already got it. I'm abiding. I have to have everything that God has for the branch, for the believing heart. So, if I may, in the light of that, keeping that in mind to ask whatever. So, John, whatever we ask in your name, that we're going to do. And so, like 1 John chapter 2, 1 John in chapter 2, you'll see it. And 1 John chapter 2. And picking up, please, in verse 22. Who is Eliab? But chapter 2, verse 22. But who is Eliab? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son, Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So God, no, we're not going to look to you with all our heart. That's what we're doing. We're abiding. We aren't going to trust the system. We aren't going to do any of that. We're going to let you outwork your wonderful life in your most wonderful way, in the way that you do it. And so God is going to do it. That's what you're going to do. There are no limitations. There's no limitations. It's an abiding fellowship. That's what you have in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 3. This is the fellowship that we have with the Father, and with Jesus Christ, with the Son, Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verse 3. We have a unique, we're abiding. That's what you do. So you can't be abiding and not be enjoying. You enjoy work because you do what you're supposed to do at work, and you enjoy work hour after hour because you're doing what you're supposed to do. That's what you do. And you do it. And you're on the football team and you play basketball, whatever it is, and you're doing it, and you're doing it. And then you get a halftime, you get a break, but you're in the game. You're in the game. We're in the game. We're abiding 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're in the business of life, his life, being outlived in my life, in your life. And that's what it's about. And that's being a believer. Otherwise, don't be a joke about it and a hypocrite. You ought to have the life and just endure. For me or isn't for you, that's because God wants you to enjoy his wonderful person. That's what God wants. God wants to be loving you. And you have to let him love you. And either you do it or you don't. And you got to do it. Otherwise, we could sit People sit 10 years, 20 years in church, and there's no difference. There's no change. They ought to have grown. They ought to have developed, but they don't. So in the light of that, in God's wonderful, wonderful working, in God's wonder, there's no limitations, etc., etc. Now, go over with me to see this, no limitations, over to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, if I can. And, Gospel of Mark, go picking it up, chapter 11, Mark 11, to illustrate, no limitations, Mark chapter 11. And asking. Why do we ask? Mark chapter 11, picking up, if I may, in verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, trust God. For verse 23, be trusting, letting God be God. Verse 23, but verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. You're going to have whatever you want. To the tree, to the mountain, move. See, who could say that? Now? What are you saying to us, God? Move mountains? No, you don't need to move mountains. Coming up in the tribulation, I'll move a lot of mountains. But not yet. Not yet. No, not yet. So therefore, what are we going to do? Move the mountain. What are you talking about? You want 1 John 5, 14, 15. I want God's will outworked. I want to abide and let my relationship to God on the football field at work in my little heart. I want God to outwork his wonderful will in my life. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and a year from now, 100 years from now. God, I want to enjoy that relationship. So I'm going to outwork that relationship in a most wonderful way. Now, in doing so, I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. John 17. God leaves me in. I don't belong anymore, but I'm still in it. And therefore, the world is dark, and the God of this world hates light and hates life and hates love. It hates it. God of this world, the devil himself, loves darkness, not light. So therefore, here I am in this world, and it opposes me, being a believer. It doesn't want me to be a believer. In the valley of the blind, remember the illustration, and the whole city was blind, in what, just your imagination. And a man with sight fell and ended up in this city. And he tried to tell people, but in the land of the blind, he was trying to tell them about what he saw and what to do. But in the land of the blind, they were all blind. They were all blind. So they didn't know what he was talking about. He was talking about light, blue, green, sun, moon, shelf, wood, coal. We hear you. We can't see the color chart. We can't see any. We don't know what you're talking about. You must be crazy. And so they all went after him to kill him, to get rid of him. He's a curse to us. He says he can see. But who can see? No one can see. Okay, now. So therefore, in the world, you're going to have obstacles, opponents, opposition. That isn't happy. Everyone isn't happy if you go into work and bring 25 New Testaments and 7,000 tracts on how to be saved, and walk up and down the place and hand them out and talk to everybody. And everyone's so happy to hear you, and the boss is so happy, and you're doing all of these things. Now, that's a good company to work for, but there aren't many companies like that. You can't do that. The world's against you. In the coffee machine, you go to get a drink, and you're there, and they're talking and giving you some kind of a joke or something, and they're up there, and you come up, and they see you coming, and they quit talking and leave. Why? Because they know you wouldn't do that. They know you wouldn't like that. That's what they know. They leave. We're opposed. If there's an obstacle in your way, like a mountain, don't let the obstacle, the opponent, don't let anything rob you of abiding. Don't lose the relationship. And if there's a mountain and someone doesn't like it, or something doesn't work, or whatever it is, what are you going to do? If you ask me, I'll remove any obstacle that hinders the outworking of your abiding. Anything that stops this, I'll overcome it. That's why we shared earlier, the greatest enemy you have is yourself. You louse up your life like no one else can, and like I can. Now, so, answer to that, easy. You got it? Do it. See it. Zechariah. And in chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 4. Picking up, if I may. And you will note, chapter 4, here is the governor, and the people have returned from Babylon, building the temple. And in building the temple, there's obstacles and opponents. The enemy is all around them. The enemy doesn't want them to build the temple. They don't even want the Jews to be back in the land. And therefore, here's Zerubbabel, chapter 4, verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, that shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone. You got no words, headstone. You're going to finish the building, and thereof with shoutings, praying, saying, grace be unto you, grace be unto it. In other words, Zerubbabel, there's a lot of things stopping you, stopping building that temple, a lot of things. But, oh, Zerubbabel, look to God and ask to remove that mountain, that obstacle, that which is keeping the fulfillment of my plan to let you build the temple. And they did do it. Zerubbabel, you got to hang in there and believe. Ask, and you shall receive. It's the will of God to finish that temple. So you do it, because it's the will of God. No matter what the problem, the devil himself can't stop it. So therefore, in the light of that, God's wonderful. And our Lord, did you illustrate that? Yes, I did, he said. In the Garden of Gethsemane, I made it the simplest thing for you to understand. I didn't want to have to go to the cross and bear your sin in my body on the tree. I did not want to do that. I am God. And I know in my humanity, I hate sin. I oppose all of darkness and evil. And I have to go and pay the price for all that darkness and all that evil, I've got to pay the price on Calvary's cross. I don't want to do it. I don't want to. But not thy will, not my will, but thou will, God, your will be done. So be it. You are the perfect example, asking the obstacles in the way, but the will of God must be finished. And so in your life, you want the will of God worked out, because you're going to be abiding. And no matter how lousy everything looks or anything else, you hang in there and abide, and God works it out because you want to grow. And sometime, like in Philippians, God lets you what? You have to go down and eat humble pie. You have to experience difficulty, danger. You have to fall and get a bloody nose. You have to go through stuff. You have to learn it. You'll learn it in the College of Hard Knocks. That's the only school that gets to us. And so God got us, our Lord said, just hang in there. If you don't abide, without me you can do nothing. So get that straight through your head. You're a new creature. I don't want the old. I crucified it and buried it. Your old nature that you live with 24 hours a day, I took care of that. Now, you're going to live with it, and you have the doubts and the disappointments, discouragement, and all depression and all the other things that come and go, worry, want, and wandering. All those things come. But, they're there. But I'm going to keep abiding, and they abide. All the while I die, but all the while I live, I reckon myself dead to sin, Romans 6:11, but alive unto God in a most wonderful way. So all the while, my body is failing. I'm enjoying a wonderful life. And I don't want to let anything louse up my wonderful life. So I'm going to believe and thank God. How am I going to get through it? Keep thanking God. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. 1,000,000,000,000 thank yous for everything you're doing. I have the pain, the heartache, the headache, and all the stuff. But that isn't where I am, God. You took care of that. So I'm enjoying your life all the while I live in this body. Until what? You put away this body, and I enjoy the fullness of your life and get a new body. But in the meantime, I live in this body. That's what I do. But in the same time, God, I am to realize a unique, wonderful relationship to yourself. And that's what you're trying to tell me. Right, over to 1 John. In 1 John, and you will note, I'll read verse 22 again. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, whatever. It's no limitation, as I have shared, no limitation. Whatever we ask, we receive of him. How can you not abide? And the sap flows, and the life of the tree is in the branch all the time, 24 hours a day, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And God, what do you do with your commandments? Verse 23, and this is the commandment, that we should believe. What'd you ask us, God? What'd you ask us? I want you to believe me. That's what I asked you. What commandments? Believe me and love. Let me be loving. Enjoy being loved of God, and enjoy God loving believers enjoy being a branch along with the other branches. And that's your evidence. I want you to show, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. The branches are the same. The believers are the same in the heart. The same God, same Christ, same love, loving. If it isn't active, then you're a Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian congregation, you see? But if it's life, that is where it belongs, life. Love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. And therefore, you're going to be my witnesses, Acts 1:8. I want you to evidence the unique, wonderful life that you have. I want you to love it. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Love me. And I want you to go. I want you to show I love you. I hate sin. I hate evil. Show what? Show you're loving me and not loving your old nature. That's what I want. Show that you love me. That's all I want you to do. Enjoy it. You aren't going to fix it yet. You got to live with it. You got to live with it. My mind, that's all I think. Listen, when you're all done, I got to quit. When you're all done, Isaiah 55. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. As high as the heaven is above the earth are my ways and my ways and my thoughts, higher than the heavens. So when you try to say, let me think about it, when you do think about it, write about it, read about it, you're down here. Always. And God's thoughts about you, you know, Psalm 139, Psalm 40, the thoughts that I think of you, same word, are more than the sand of the sea. So don't try to compete with me, said God. Just let me be God in your life, if you would please. Our Father and God, we thank you for thy word. Thank you for your grace. Help us as we try to understand a little better, God, so we aren't off and on the switches, and we don't understand, and we get all the truth, but it never goes anywhere because we're not abiding. We need to be abiding in order to enjoy that relationship so that as we ask, we receive, and there's no limit to it, God. And if anything gets in the way, our fears, our doubts, our worries, we confess them before you like a great mountain, and God, proceed forward. So God, believe, ask. Don't let anything, God, don't let us have and allow for anything that keeps us from abiding. And our God will thank you very much for here and now, until there and then. And our God, we thank you very, very much. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen.